Hey bosses, before we kick off this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor this week, who also happens to be our guest. That's right, Rad Diversified. We're going to bring back CEO Dutch Mendenhall, who's always fun to chat with. He's got an update on all things real estate, farmland. They've been making some really interesting moves there. And of course, the Survivalist Project. Now, normally, if you just head to Rad's website, you're going to have to get on a wait list before you can even join in. But because you're Invest Like a Boss listener, we got a special offer for you to skip that whole line, get right to the front and get the VIP treatment. But you got to go to this special link. It's raddiversified.com/investlikeaboss. raddiversified.com/investlikeaboss. Rad, R-A-D, diversified, diversified.com/investlikeaboss. Let's chat with Dutch and then we'll do a follow-up after the interview here on Invest Like a Boss.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
I'm Derek Spartz.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
What's up, bosses? Episode 265 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Derek Spartz here. In Los Angeles, I know you're probably listening to this in a different order than we record, but I've seen Johnny now, what, 3 days in a row? How are you, Johnny?
Feels like it. Well, it's kind of good because I've had electricity 3 days in a row, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, that is the good news. And I was joking before we got on this call. I know it's an audio podcast, but we like to look at each other and say hi in the beginning. And Johnny had lights and I'm like, you look really good there. And I was like, oh, wait, maybe I'm just used to seeing you in the dark.
Yeah, because normally I just have like a LED candle or like an actual candle on. But today we're good, guys. We are on a full power Wi-Fi, so I should sound better than ever. And if you were able to see me, I would look better than ever.
Well, I'm glad things are working out, at least for the time being, in Kyiv. Why don't you tell us who we're talking to today? Because your location during the interview came into play during this show, which everyone will find out.
Yeah. So actually, I think a lot of people don't realize this, but we recorded the main interview either before or after the intro. So I interviewed the CEO of Rad Diversified, Dutch Mendenhall, who we've had on the show before, but actually I've never spoken to personally. I think it was you, Derek, that was actually in his office doing the last interview, right?
Yeah, I actually got to do the last two with him. This is his third appearance on the show. If you guys want to go back, he was on episode 178, the very first time. And that's when I actually did it over Zoom. And we talked about the real estate aspect of Rad. And then I went back in episode 194, I want to say about 6-7 months later, because everyone's like, who is this guy Dutch? We need to learn more about him. And he had alluded to kind of, I guess at the time, side aspect of the business, which was investing in farmland and this thing called the Survivalist Project. And I was like, we got to go back and hear more about that. And he told me he's just outside of Los Angeles and it was maybe an hour away from me. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I just go into your offices? So I got to actually go in the office. They had a cool podcast setup already in there. And it was really a nice experience to go in and actually meet the whole team. Everyone was really great over there and just meet Dutch himself, because he's literally the guy that you hear is the guy he is in real life too.
Yeah, that's so crazy. And you know, I wish I lived in LA so I could go to the offices of our guests and our sponsors of the show. Rad Diversify is a sponsor of the show, but we realize it's been over a year since we've had them on, and so much has changed since then, especially with this Ukraine war happening and things like farm, you know, products not being able to be exported, inflation, all this stuff is going on. And we're like, all right, let's get them back on and let's see how their investments are going.
Yeah, I was thinking more just from the regular real estate side, with all the rate bumps that have gone on in the US here, the market has changed dramatically. As I've said before, I've been trying to purchase a home myself and it's just a mess, especially just for one, being self-employed, but for two, that interest rate has really bumped everything up so much that the payment on a mortgage that I was looking for, you know, a house that is, you know, the same price house that I would have got a year or two ago, the payment has jumped up hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month because of the rate hike. So it's really affecting a lot of people in the market. So I want to get his perspective on that. But I didn't even cross my mind that the Ukraine war would really affect his business as well. And I think he was really smart to make a move that we're going to find out in the interview that he did right when this Russian-Ukraine war broke out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's definitely a survivalist at heart, hence the Survivalist Project. So really kind of exciting different ways to invest. Very different than the traditional index fund or the traditional real estate. So let's talk to Dutch and let's, you know, see how it's all going. And then I'll meet you back on the outro and we're going to talk about how it's going for some of our listeners who have invested.
And we know a lot of listeners have invested with Rad Diversified, not only just from you guys telling us, but also Rad's team has told us that they heard a lot of feedback and had a lot of investors jump into Rad. So that is another reason why we wanted to have them on. So let's catch up with Dutch. Johnny's taking this interview from Kyiv, and special situation because I don't think Johnny had internet at the time, but it actually sounds pretty good considering the circumstances. So here's Dutch Mendenhall on Invest Like a Boss.
All right. Hey, Dutch, really good finally talk to you. I know you talked to Sam and Derek. It's been about a year and a half. It was back in September 2019, which feels like a decade ago.
A lifetime, right?
Yeah. Like, no, 2021. Sorry, 2021, but still felt like a decade ago.
I get the full crew, though. I get pretty blessed. I got all three of you at different times, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to have you back on to get a little updates because a lot has changed in the world since 2021. And what about Rad Diversified? What's new with you guys?
I mean, we've changed a lot during the last year and a half. I mean, I almost feel like what we did in the last year and a half, as much as what I had done in my entire history or career up to that point, we did in the last year and a half. Kind of mind-blowing the growth that we've had, but really the mind-blowing is what we've done for our investors. So our stock price has gone all the way to $22.22 a share. Last year, we did four stock price changes, all positive. I think we're at 13 consecutive quarters of positive stock price changes in a time where, you know, people, it kind of sucked for a lot of people last year. We grew from about 30, we might have been, when we first talked the first time, we might have been at 60 million in total assets under management. Now we're at 200 million in assets under management.
Okay.
So crazy. We went through a rapid growth phase with staff and team, and then we went through some like trimming and gelling and like, you know, kind of like the chaos when you grow a lot with new team and staff. But then like the last 6 months, it's been just, you know, gelling with the same core people and the same thing. And then I got my 10-year vets that are been with me for a lifetime, you know, mingling with our people that have been with us the last 2 years. And just like the gelling together of these incredible people is mind-blowing, because it's like, it's weird after 18 months, I feel like we're just at the beginning. And or after 10 years or after the 3 years or 4 years since we opened Rad Diversified REIT, I still feel like we're just at the beginning of what we're doing.
Well, there's always these new opportunities as well, because the world changed so fast. I know in the first interview that we did, where we had you on, we talked mostly about investing in real estate. And then the second appearance, a lot of it was the Survivalist Project, which was super fun with the farmland. What has changed since then? What are you guys investing in now?
I mean, I feel like we're doing what we do great. So what we did for a long time was for the foreclosure business, right? And that was where we cut our teeth and how we began in the real estate game, right? After the 2008 crash is where we really started cutting our teeth and flourishing. So we've been preparing for what's happening here in 2023, actually, for a long time. And it's fascinating. Like I can't say that, you know, everything's going to go perfect for us or anyone else in 2023, but we've been preparing for this for a long time. You know, we've been identifying our cities, our markets. We've been working on our relationships, you know, with secondary market managers, with banks to be able to buy notes and to be able to buy foreclosures and be able to buy, you know, stuff in a different way. And we're buying deeper. So mathematically, we started preparing for this as well. And so it's something that we were ready for. We started getting into a heavier cash position, so we had more money to be able to buy quickly and buy fast. We've been buying a lot of portfolios. I think that'd probably be the biggest new thing is a lot of the large landlords who kind of screwed things up during the pandemic, like didn't treat renters right, didn't understand how to work within the government programs. And, you know, and I don't blame them. You know, you have a 60, 70, 80 year old person who's been working hard at real estate for a long time. And then the whole game changed to them. I mean, they could have been doing it for 30 years and the pandemic flipped the script on everybody. It's one of those things that like they struggled. You know, if you couldn't work with a renter and create payment programs, if you couldn't work with renters and help them with their government assistance and give them a plan and a path and give them access, everybody's like, well, everybody could see government access. Well, how many government programs in the world do people not understand and know? And so for us, you know, working closely with the tenants and just having this positive relationship through the pandemic, and everybody's like, well, it was hard. I'm like, well, it is, right? It just is. And so if it is, then what do we do? And so I think there's a lot of landlords, bigger landlords, you know, 30, 40, 50 units, 30, 40, 50 houses that they own that we've been buying. And you know, 12 months ago, some of them came to us and they're like, no, there's no way we would accept those offers. There's absolutely no way. And I'm like, look, you're bleeding. I mean, like these rents, I said, you have, you know, 40% vacancies, 25% of your houses need to be rehabbed. I said, this is a real legitimate offer, right? I really work hard to create win-win relationships. And they're like, there's absolutely no way. And I said, okay, but I'm telling you, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, the market is shifting and the economy is going to change and you're going to come back to us. And I said that kind of hard the way I just said it. I try to say it in like a positive, like, hey man, I know this is what's going to happen for y'all. And then they did. And so I think we bought a 28 home portfolio, a 43 home portfolio, just in the third and fourth quarter of last year. And so those, that's something that's kind of shifted our farmland. We went from being a noob in farmland and not having noob staff. We had people that had, you know, crazy, insane minds when it came to it and experience. But us as a company, you know, 2 years ago, we were pretty, 3 years ago, we were pretty new to farmland. And now 2-3 years later, October of last year, we created over $1 million in cash flow from our farms alone.
Wow.
Which is mind blowing. Our biggest cash flow month in the history of our company. I mean, like you're wearing it. Well, we did. I mean, you're wearing the weed on the sweatshirt, right? I mean, the Ukraine Russian thing's insane. I feel like we're, you know, one step away from war. A lot of people don't realize it, but if you follow these economic cycles, you follow the things going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there a proxy war, some type of war with Ukraine and Russia is there, but wheat is what he's wearing on his sweatshirt, everybody.
So yeah, for those who can't see, because it's an audio podcast.
Oh, my fault.
No worries. I'm wearing the Ukrainian chizub, which is their kind of trident symbol, but it's made out of wheat, which is Ukraine's, you know, national crop. That's their biggest export. And right when you saw that, you said the second Russia invaded Ukraine, you guys started investing in winter wheat.
Yeah. Because wheat in winter wheat is a crop that can really grow in a lot of climates and it can grow in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, we literally took some of our land that was, we had been working to get it to a better place farmable, but allowing us to plant that and grow that on it, you know, immediately has created cash flow and created income for our investors that didn't previously exist. So it's just kind of insane about how much opportunity there is in the land, you know, and how much it can provide abundance. So
yeah, I see that. So really looking, you know, to the future, in case the wheat supplies gets cut off, and it was for a while, they had a really hard time shipping.
Yeah,
you know, Russia was blocking the ports, and you know, it was on the verge of creating a famine in Africa and Asia, and who knows, that might affect the U.S. as well.
I mean, I guess the Ukraine-Russian conflict, you know, brought a lot of things to heart for us home here at RAD, because we are strong believers in America, in this country. We're strong believers in our military. If you go to our websites, right, those people who invest with us will see our charities we give to every single time. We gave, you know, money to soldiers who were going to pull orphans out of Ukraine immediately when the conflict started and trying to get them to a better place. And just some different things we immediately started doing. And so if you look at Special Operations Wounded Warrior, Task Force Dagger are probably the largest two military charities that impact. That's, I think, the last thing that you asked, what changed about RAD? Mm-hmm. We got serious about our impact. I sit here every single day and I can say that I give to charity, but there's a very difference between personally giving and being a charitable person and focusing purely on your impact more as a company. And so the charities we give to, whether it's Joshua House for Abused and Neglected Children, or it's Task Force Dagger for soldiers and warriors to give them a path and an avenue to the help that they need for the trauma that they've been through. We just got very serious about our impact, very serious about our relationship with our investors. Mm-hmm. We just leveled up. I think there's not I believe in not living in disease. And mm-hmm. so any part of our business that I feel like is in disease or dis-ease, let's figure the cure. Right.
Okay.
But rather than let these happen, let's do the things to get out in front of it and prevent it. And so I want to have an impact organization. Let's do everything we need to be an impact organization. Let's not just say it. Let's do it.
I like it. So, I mean, obviously you guys are, you know, being very generous, you know, with the charities. You guys are giving high payouts. I think it started at 5% 2 years ago, and I heard you guys are bumping that up to 8%. Well, can you talk more about that?
Yeah, we did 5% actually and 8% in 2022. So we did 13% total distribution. So our stock price went up by over 20%, but we also made 13% cash available to our investors. But that gives four what I call liquidity events last year that we made available to investors. And so we have our normal, every single year we have what's called a redemption period. So twice a year where people can redeem up to 25% of their stock. And so that's something that is very different than it's one of the hates that you get on a non-traded public REIT, right? Is that we're not liquid. Well, I counteract that with saying, I'm going to create as much liquidity events for my investors is that I feel is like healthy for the REIT, right? I got to protect all of my investors. And so making us too liquid, right, creates that unhealthiness. But I feel like every time I can create a liquidity event for my investors, I'm going to. And so, you know, we proved that not just by saying it, but by doing it in 2022 with four liquidity events.
So that's really interesting because, yeah, traditionally, these type of funds, especially things that invest in either whether it's real estate or especially farmland.
5-year lockup.
Yeah, it's a long period. I mean, you can't just grow, you know, buy land and then plant fields and then be able to sell it, you know, the same year. So one of our Patreons, he invested with you guys and he missed the liquidity window last year. And that was, you know, he's stressing about it. You know, I think on one hand, I understand, you know, maybe he had something come up personal life where he needed the money right away. But at the same time, I also understand from just the model that you guys have that it's not always possible for someone to cash out right away. So I know he's working with you guys with the customer service on that. So hopefully that gets resolved. But
what I would say is in our history as a REIT, I think one of the things that's important to me is that I've never heard of an emergency from an investor that we didn't do everything in our power to move mountains to make sure they could sell their stock, right? And the nice part about us is we are selling stock every single month. We are raising capital every single month, right? We raise anywhere between $5 million on kind of an average normal month all the way up to $10 million, right, in a month. And I think our lowest month last year was just over $2 million raised capital. So every month we have an ability to be liquid enough to be able to capitalize our investors, right? And I think an emergency is one thing, right? And then there's, you know, the traditional selling of stock and those kind of things. So I mean, number one philosophy, and every single one of my team and staff and employees will tell you this, is words that go, you know, in email, words that go behind the closed doors and behind the scenes, that our investors' money is our investors' money. And, you know, there's the protocol of the twice a year redemption or the two liquidity events we did, but then there's also life, right? And we got to do everything to make sure our investors can live life and do the things that they need to do. It's critical because your money's your money. That's how I've always looked at it. So,
okay.
My money's in there too. I want to have access to it too.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. So from a personal place, we heard you moved out of California to Florida. I think that's a big move a lot of people have been doing. Why did you do it, and how do you like it so far?
Well, there's better salsa dancing in Florida for sure. Uh-huh. I learned to dance salsa in California, so I'm sure they would argue that one tooth and nail. I mean, life changes. My business partner Amy and I have been in business together since 2010. When I look at life and her living in Florida the entire time, and a large portion of our business running in Texas, Philadelphia, California, Florida, right? To be in the same location while we were going through the intense growth we were going to is incredibly important. I can't say that I bat an eye at, you know, 11% less in taxes. That's always great to make that extra money. I think everyone listening would like to make an extra 11% in the next year. So that one feels pretty good. I'd also say, you know, I love the house that I live in here in Florida. And it would have cost me 3x, 4x more money to be able to buy it there in California. I think I like $4 a gallon in gas instead of $6, $7, $8 a gallon in gas, right? And so those are just some of the attributes. I mean, the cost of living for the average American is ridiculous, right? And being a farmer, you know, and a part of our business, I can't understand why somehow at retail they're charging $12, you know, for a dozen eggs, and you know, farmers aren't getting, you know, an extra $10 for their eggs coming out of chickens, right? So I don't, you know, there's a gap in there where there's corporate profit and corporate greed, and they want to curb inflation. But at the same time, you know, corporations are ripping every dollar out of they can out of things. And It is what has caused some of the greatest challenges in the history of our country. It's what caused the 2008 crash, for sure, is greed. You know, for me, we have to be abundant. It's why I love our REIT, because it's fractionalized investing. Like, the average American can't buy a home anymore, but together we can buy lots of homes. As an investor and fractionalized investing with other people, I think I owned 10 or 12 homes before I owned my own personal home, right? And I think it's kind of the new way of the American dream. It's the new way of the American model, is how do we control our futures and destiny, and how can we do it from an abundance place versus a scarcity and scared place?
Okay, you know what, let's talk about that. So you know, RAD diversified versus a publicly traded REIT. You know, what would the benefits of somebody going through RAD be? Because with the REIT, I think a lot of people, they like it because first it's easy. They can just go through the broker. They can buy something, and then if they change their mind, they can sell it tomorrow. You know, and they kind of just don't have to think about or worry about it. It's secured. You know, what about RAD? What's the difference? What's the pros and cons?
You know, I was talking with my older brother yesterday, right? And, you know, he served 33 years in service to our country. And I was talking with him about his government retirement account, and he made a 2% return with it last year. And I was talking to him about, you know, what we made with RAD Diversified. And it wasn't like a, hey, you can make more money here thing. It's like, hey, there's something different here. And we're having this conversation, and he's talking to me, well, that did way better than everything else I did last year where we lost money. And the thing is the stock market goes up and down with the winds of time, right? It goes up and downs with public opinion. It goes up and down daily. And then people try to catch the trends, and they're moving behind the trends versus before the trends. And if you don't move before the trends, you will always lose money. And so with RAD being non-traded, we do not move with what Biden or Trump or Bezos or Musk or what Ukraine or Russia, our stock price doesn't move with those times, right? Are we affected by obviously national economic trends and national economic changes? Yes. But the day-to-day trends or the day-to-day up and downs is not something, you know, we struggle with. Our assets, our stock price is affected by net asset value. It's not affected by day-to-day trading. And so our stock price changes quarterly based on the value of our assets. And I like that because it's real and tangible, right? If you look at like the Madoff series that came out on Netflix, right? He didn't have real tangible assets. He was not a public company, right? And I think there's something to be said about private investment companies in America. I think private companies should exist in America. And I think private business is an important thing. But I think private investment companies that doesn't have third-party reporting, that doesn't have auditing, that doesn't have to file with the SEC on a weekly, monthly, semi-annual, you know, annual basis is ridiculous, right? And people wondering where their money could possibly go is ridiculous. So what RAD is a public company, but non-traded. And I think I think it's the best vehicle in the world. And it's a very specific vehicle that was created by the Jobs Act. And I think it's important that people have a place to invest. It gives access to the everyday person that they couldn't get access, that used to be only available in private institutions and accredited investors. And the kind of investing that I do right now that people can invest into is something that used to be mostly only available to the rich. For me, I'm happy to have our accredited investors as a part of our tribe. But for me, the everyday investor, every single person grinding every single day, trying to build their family, trying to build their kids, trying to build their dream and saying, what the hell do I do with my money? That's where I wanted to make RAD available to those people. So I feel like that is what we are.
I like it. So if you wanted to ease the fears of somebody who says, I would rather just buy something from, you know, from my stockbroker, because I know, you know, it's a publicly traded stock, you know, and they said, like, right now everything's going up, there's more people investing, there's more money coming in, so you don't have to worry about it. How can you ease the fears that this wouldn't be another Madoff situation?
Yeah, I mean, so there's two different questions there. First, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, right? So giving people personal financial advice, you know, because we are a public company under the Securities and Exchange Commission, I can't give personal financial advice. What I would say, in my experience, diversification is always in an answer, right? It is always in an answer. And I'm not going to tell people not to work with their stockbrokers. I'm not going to tell people not to invest in the stock market. What I am going to say is alternative investing is the wave of the future. If you look at, I was on the phone with Merrill Lynch recently working on getting on their platform and getting our read on their platform, which we're not for them. If we're not 600 to 800 million, we're not ready to be on their platform yet. They have 3.5 trillion invested into alternative assets, right? And I look at the wave of the future. When I look at stuff like Chase Bank, you know, buying 750,000 acres so they can get credits for the environment, right? And those things out there, alternative investments is the future. And so it's also the now. And so we do things from an alternative, and we're an industry leader, right? Keynote speaker at Crowdfunding Week and different things. And we are doing, you know, calls and meetings with other issuers of alternative investments on a daily basis. And so for me, it's just different. It's not that I have to say that one thing is better. It's different, right? There are people who love to be able to sell their stock on a daily basis. There are people who love for someone else to do all of the trading for them. And that's great. And if that's what they choose, that's great. For me, when you invest in RAD, you own something. And you're part of the fractionalized ownership of farms, and you're part of the fractionalized ownership of houses, and people need a place to sleep. They need food to eat. I also think we need to protect our country with our farms. I think it's one of our greatest assets. And as you saw in Ukraine, how much, you know, the wheat affected the entire world and affected pricing, affected so many different things. And when you look at 33 million acres in the United States is owned by China, you look at big business and big corporations that own farmland and are taking it out of production. It's something that I personally feel very strong in investing in farmland. And the thing is, most people, you know, just want to make their money and they don't give two shits about the environment, or they don't give a crap about the greater scale or greater gain. But I said, you know, we're impact. Everything we do has a purpose and a reason and a passion behind it. And that creates my team, my staff, my people, my investors. We're a little bit different breed for sure.
All right. Really, really cool. And actually, something you mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm almost 100% sure you have a plan for this, because you're definitely a survivalist. Let's say U.S. does, you know, go into a huge recession for whatever reason, you know, property values drop, you know, unemployment skyrockets, you know, there's a little, not a famine, but like, you know, food prices go even higher. How is RAD going to survive? What's going to happen to people's investment?
I mean, it's not an if, it's when, right? And so the RAD philosophy is, when is this going to happen? RAD philosophy is we prepare now, right, for this to happen. And so for us, it's about paying attention to our cash flow, paying attention to our overall game, right? It's already having contingency plans put into place. I was meeting with our head of strategic development for the company and strategic planning for the company yesterday, and we were talking about threats, right? What are the threats that we could potentially face as a company in the next 6, 12 months, the next 2 years, the next 3 years? And we're in deep discussion, because then we plan and prepare so that when the things happen, we just have to act. And the thing is if you wait for the problem to happen, then you're scrambling and you're trying to plan when you should be acting through the challenge and the problem. And so for us, we prepare. Look, interest rates continue to go up. Unemployment's going to go up. In the 1970s, when interest rates went up, we had an 11% unemployment. Fact, right? And every time we've run this economic cycle, we've gone into some type of war. Fact, right? These are things that we've experienced and seen. And so these are things that I know are going to happen. Before every single presidential election year, the powers that be will try and spike the economy. And so with us being into the raising interest rates and the thing we're going to see in 2023, we're preparing for 2024 for them to spike the economy. Well, when they spike the economy, we want to have as many assets under management as humanly possible, because when you have that much assets under management, and the spike happens, then you make money from all of those assets. Well, when do you gather those assets? Well, you gather them when they're cheap. You take market share when there's a recession. I said, when economies are booming and everything is up, well, then everybody's making money and everybody feels good about it, right? A lot of my investors came back to me in the last 3 months and they said, Dutch, I'm sorry. And I said, what do you mean you're sorry? They're like, well, you know, we made money with RAD, right, in 2020 during the pandemic. But then in 21, 22, yeah, we kept investing with RAD, but we put a lot of money, you know, in these other places. We could feel like we made a lot of money. I said, that's great. And they said, but we got bit. I said, and then now we're coming back to RAD in this period of time. And so I've always found that our market share in 2020 is where we jumped from that 30, 60 million in assets to 200 million in assets, right? Where we took a chunk out of the market. I feel like, you know, when you talk about that, there's literally investment companies in the US that manage 11 trillion, 19 trillion. dollars. And every time you add a zero, it's insane. The difference between a million and 10 million is off the charts, or even 100,000 and a million. So when you go with the difference between a billion and 10 billion to 100 billion to a trillion or 1 trillion, it's incomprehensible, right? And so if I'm taking a chunk away from those $1 trillion companies and giving it that money to our investors, I'm going to fight every day for it.
I like it. So the last question that we have on this list is from one of our Patreons. They want to know about cash flow. Are you guys still in the process of just acquiring assets and buying land and building, or are you starting to cash flow?
Yeah. So we're an equity-based REIT, right? And so we have other investment vehicles where we focus purely on cash flow for our investors. Rad Diversified REIT. So we have many vehicles people can invest. Like, we have an opportunity zone fund. If people have capital gains that they want to put to a place where they can have that money work for them for 5 years versus going to Uncle Sam, we have an opportunity zone fund, right? And so we have cash flow vehicles for people. Rad Diversified REIT's an equity based REIT. My goal is to increase your stock price, so when we do liquidity events, you can sell at the highest profit margin possible. With that said, October of 2022, our single greatest record-breaking cash flow month in the history of our company. January of 2023, our greatest cash flow month from our rents, from our assets that we've ever had in the history of our company, right? And we didn't have any farm income in January, because our farm income comes in bunches and bursts. Like, you go and cut down 200 acres of timber, then you sell that timber. And so you comes with one check. And so for us to have two records in 3 months, I feel really great about. And I feel like this year we'll continue to break cash flow records month over month because of where we're at. I think we have over 50 properties that'll be rented in the next 30 days that we didn't have rented 30 days ago. When you're talking about increasing your cash flow anywhere from 40 to 50,000 a month over month, it's pretty amazing. My brother Dory, who runs our real estate operations, has just crushed it and scaled his team and scaled himself up in ways that I, you know, can't be more proud of him.
Okay. I like it. So how do you guys decide when to distribute the money versus just letting us, you know, either sit inside the fund or using it to buy more assets to raise the stock price? I mean, is there like a trigger of saying, okay, this time we're putting them as dividends, or how's that work?
Well, it's kind of a magic formula. And so when I say magic formula, when I look at it, I say, do we have the capital to do a distribution? Have we gotten enough cash flow, right, to do a distribution? Have we raised enough money to do a distribution, right? Have we sold enough real estate to do a distribution? So I look at our overall capital situation. Then that checkbox is yes, right? I said, do I feel like we've made, you know, solid returns for our investors this year? That checkbox, yes, right? Have we done a distribution in the last quarter? The last 6 months for our investors? If that checkbox no, then it's time to do a distribution. Let's check that box yes, and let's get a distribution out to our investors. And so for us, there's a formula to it. But my goal, right, for 2022 is to do 4 liquidity events for our investors. We did 4 liquidity events. My goal for 2023 is to do 4 liquidity events for our investors. Now, by our offering circular, I'm required to do 2 no matter what. Right. It's not even, the decision is not even in our hands. We do 2 liquidity events every year for our investors automatically. The other 2 is my accounting team working their butts off to get the numbers to where they need to be. My real estate team working their butt off to get the finances and the money in a place to get there. And they do it. And that's part of the game. Like, there's an exchange with our investors. And for me, the better I take care of my investors, the better we do by our investors, the better our investors do by us. And it's an exchange, and it's not, hey, we're just this company and give us your money and then someday figure something out. No, like, it's transparency, it's truth, it's reality. Every single property we own is on a balance sheet. Our investors drive by our properties and they go and they see them because it's public information. It's not some secret, you know, document in some safe somewhere that says what we own in some gold mine in some foreign country. No, it's real estate. It's real houses in America.
All right. So let's say someone is excited. They decided to invest. Let's say fast forwards, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Can they only cash out 25% each liquidity event? And then after 5 years, they can cash out the whole amount, or how does that work?
So we've you know, the liquidity of the 25% per year is something we make available to our investors. I don't think we've ever activated the 25% liquidity. Up to this point, all investors that have ever requested distribution, we've been able to give them full distribution. For us, the 25% is in place just to protect everyone's assets, right? Let's say there's a 2008 crash and thousands of investors suddenly ask for their money. Well, then we have to start selling off assets in a fire sale. Selling off real estate is not something you ever want to do in a fire sale. And it's the single worst time for an investor's in a real estate situation to pull money, because even at the 08 crash, by 11, by 12, all real estate values had surpassed what they were in 08, right? I think everybody in the world says, I wish I would have bought real estate in 08. Well, it's 2023. Everybody's going to be saying, I wish I would have bought real estate in 23. So ask the question one more time. I just want to make sure I completed it.
Yeah. So at the end of the 5 years, is there like an automatic liquidity event saying this is over, or can people keep it in the fund and let it roll?
Yeah, it's a continuous offering, so people can leave it in the fund and they can continue to compound their returns.
Okay, well, sounds good. So somebody wants to invest, I'm assuming it's open. Is there a cap? Is there any requirements? I don't remember now. Is it open to international and non-accredited investors?
It's open to non-accredited investors. It's open to international investors. We hit our cap in 2022 of 75 million capital raise on. After we hit our cap, we in January 1st, we have another 75 million in total capital raise that we're available to do with our investors. So it's pretty cool to hit your cap and then be able to reopen in January. So it's pretty cool. Absolutely international investors.
Yeah. And I'm assuming each round of 75 million, the SEC is grilling you guys, taking a look at your books, doing their audits.
Every single time. So every single time we do so our stock price is 122% raise since inception in 2019, where it started at $10 a share. So every single time it's increased by 20%, we've got to refile with the SEC. So we've got to refile books, we've got to refile statements, we've got to redo the whole game every single time we do it. And so for us, you know, that's, you know, six times in 3 years we've had to do that. But then there's also the annual audits that we have to do, and then there's also the semi-annual audit check-in we have to do. And so it's a lot. Over 6 years, I think we've probably had 12 different events from a standpoint of what we've had to do with the SEC, which is great. I mean, the SEC is out there working their butts off to protect people every single day. And it's a hard job. It's not easy to do what they do. And sometimes they tell me things like, Dutch, seriously, you can't say that nobody's ever lost money with RAD Diversified. And I said, you're right. Right. Because it is possible that anybody could lose money in the future. Right. Past performance isn't indicative of future performance and those kind of things. And I talked with my lawyers and they're like, yes, it's true. But at the same time, you're not allowed. You know, like there's certain things we can't do, right? And the SEC doesn't love guarantees, right? And so there's certain things we have to be, you know, very responsible and very, very adhere to a lot of rules. And that's the things in the Madoff situation that never happened. And that's the challenge. And here's the thing is people listen to so much noise and so much stuff out there. There's so many things online. There's so many companies. There's so much information. There's your brothers, cousins, sisters, uncles, aunts, nephews, cats, dogs that knows how to invest. And it's like, who do you invest with? And so being a public company, going through these protocols every single year, having a decade plus of doing this, there's a different vehicles to be able to do this.
100%. Dutch, thank you so much for coming back on and answering all these questions. We are so happy to have you here on Invest Like a Boss.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, all the boss people out there, right, that have invested with us, appreciate it, gratitude. And if you got questions, fire them away. He'll get them to us. We'll get them answered for you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bosses, hope you enjoyed that interview with RAD Diversified CEO Dutch Mendenhall. Just a reminder that we have a special link for you to skip the waiting list at RAD Diversified. If you are interested in investing, just head over to raddiversified.com/invest like a boss. You can learn all about their investments that make money, build a legacy of generational wealth, and protect America. Find out why RAD is the alternative investment when you head to raddiversified.com/invest like a boss. That's RAD, R-A-D, diversified, diversified.com/invest like a boss to learn more. Nice interview, Johnny. This was funny. If listeners were listening a couple episodes back, Sam and I had referenced your interview with this because Did you notice that Sam jumped into your interview for a minute? Obviously, it didn't come through on the audio side, but Sam told me a funny story about him jumping in the middle of your interview.
Yeah, so I'm logging in, and I was like, at first I thought, oh man, it's going to mess up our 40-minute time limit on Zoom, but I realized... it's 40 minutes now for everyone anyways.
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole reason. Sam wanted to make sure he was good because the other guest we had on, he's like, I know that guy likes to talk, so we might go over 40 minutes. And then I was like, oh, Dutch likes to talk too. This could be a disaster.
Yeah, but somehow it worked out. And what we had said earlier at the end of the intro, I didn't have internet in my apartment because there was no power, but there was internet at the Israeli cafe downstairs on the street. So that's where I did the interview.
Yeah, I heard some little interesting music going on there. Some podcast magic behind the scenes. We were able to cut most of that out. It added a nice little effect, but I thought it'd be better for the listeners to take that out.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So what did you think about Dutch's business? I feel like this is the third time he's been on, and he always brings a little nugget of surprise in there. My surprise was his entire business is based in the United States, and I think due to SEC regulations, he has to keep his assets in the U.S. And he was still forward enough thinking to go, this war in Ukraine, even though it's halfway around the world, there's a potential way for me to benefit from this potentially bad situation, but it's still a need of farmland and crops. And he decided to convert a lot of his land that they were maybe resting for another crop to plant winter wheat, which is Ukraine's main export.
Yeah, that was super smart because a lot of people don't realize that Ukraine's nickname is the breadbasket of the world. And we export so much wheat to all of Europe, which then kind of trickles down to other countries as well. I mean, I don't think the actual wheat is making it to the U.S., but it's all connected. I mean, we live in a very interconnected world where if there's a famine or a blockage, in this case, a man-made famine by Russia, or, you know, that they're trying to do at least, it affects the whole world. So I would say I was very surprised that he thought that far ahead. And I would say there's a fine line between being a survivalist and being paranoid.
Right. Yeah. I kind of got that vibe as well. Sometimes he's a little bit much. I'm like, no way that's going to happen. But I want to jump back to our first interview where he was talking a lot of the stuff about mandates and vaccine mandates and stuff. And we're not going to get into does the vaccine work, does it not, anything like that. But it was looking at a time here in the U.S. that, you know, if you wanted a job, if you wanted to work for the government, you had to have all these mandates. And he was very against all that stuff. And now look, fast forward to 2023, a lot of that stuff has went away. So, I mean, he was pretty much spot on a lot of that stuff, even though it sounded a little nutty at the time, I'll be honest.
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, that's kind of what makes great, let's say potentially great, but definitely different types of businesses, right?
Right.
Where if he was super safe, he wouldn't have started Red Diversified. He would have started or created just like some ETF or something. So I'm glad they're around. I'm always cautious of, you know, any kind of, I don't know if this is called an alternative investment, but honestly, when I first heard about, you know, like things like the Survivalist Project, I'm like, you know, this is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know if this is a good, actual sound investment or not. And then when some of our Patreons messaged saying that they've been trying to cash out and it was like, and they said like they didn't have enough funds for that 6-month window to, I don't know, try again the next time there's a, you know, there's a cash out period, got me a little bit worried. But actually, after talking to Dutch and realizing that they're scrutinized so much by the SEC, that I'm sure their books are actually good. It's just that they're just so heavily aggressive in expanding that they're not always going to have cash on hand.
Yeah, and I think he did a good job of explaining that. So, you know, it makes sense that it's like a run on a bank. You know, if everyone went to the bank and got all their money at the same time, there's not going to be enough funds in there, and they have to be picky about, you know, who they're giving out funds to and, you know, when. But at the same time, I did address some of those concerns. I had a couple listeners with some issues, nothing super major where they're like, you know, I'm afraid I'll never get my money back, things like that. Just some delays. And I think it's growing pains with RAD because they are growing so fast. And I will say that everyone that I addressed with RAD, they did take care of. Now, whether it was that because I asked them to address that, I'm not sure. But I will say that anyone that asked me to look into some kind of help with their account with RAD or with anybody else for that matter that we've had on the show, I'm happy to help out listeners. If you hear about a product on Invest Like a Boss and you have an issue with them, I'm happy to reach out and help anyone any way we can. I mean, that's half the reason we do the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know, whether a company's a sponsor or not, we're always going to tell it straight as is. The only thing the sponsorship does is gives them, you know, the commercials or extra airtime. But we are always going to give it to you straight, whether we think it's a good investment or not, especially me with my potty mouth. But yeah, I'm glad that they were able to cash out. Still, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I think if you want to be safe, just put your money in Vanguard. If you want to have alternative investments and diversify, you know, this is one very cool way to do it.
And that being said, I personally don't have any money with RAD, but I think I would. I wouldn't put a lot in there, but the ceiling is so, or I guess the minimum, the floor is so low. It's $1,000 to get in. I think it'd be fun just because I like Dutch and his kind of his ideas that feel a little out there. And then when they pay off, it's really cool to see. So I would put a few thousand dollars in there. I'm just in this stupid crunch right now where I need liquid cash to try to buy a house. And I'm about to give up on buying a house anyway. So if I do give up, I think I might throw a few bucks into RAD.
Okay. I like it. I like it. So yeah, that was a very, very fun episode to record with Dutch. He's a very cool guy. I would just say, like, he's a guy I would definitely want to have a beer with. I think you can, he's one of those guys you could talk to all night at the bar and there will never be a second of silence. There's always going to be something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, totally. I'm kind of bummed I can't have a beer with him anymore because he moved to Florida, but it's okay. I understand.
Yeah, those tax implications, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure that was worth it.
I was like, oh, hey, can I, I'll come to the office again. You know, it was really fun the last time. And they're like, yeah, Dutch has moved out of California.
Yeah, well, smart guy, smart move. So I don't blame him for that.
Totally. So thanks again for Dutch coming on. If you guys have feedback for him or any other questions, like I said, their team is happy to help. And we have a special link that will get you direct access to RAD. There is a waiting list if you go to their regular homepage. We've been able to bypass that though. So the link is in the show notes, or you can just check out raddiversified.com/investlikeaboss. That means that they know you're coming from our podcast and you'll get priority help with any questions related to RAD.
Absolutely. And if you want to get priority help from Derek, become one of our Patreons, because that is the place where any message that you write, Sam, me, and Derek are going to see it. And one of us is definitely going to respond to you. So you can ask anything from, you know, hey, I'm thinking about investing in, you know, XYZ. Has anyone in the Patreon invested? You know, and what is the status? And that's somewhere that everybody's very open to talk about it. So I think it's absolutely worth the $5 a month if you're investing any amount of money. So definitely join, go to investlikeaboss.com and click on Patreon.
Yeah, it's 100% easiest way to get a hold of, at least for me, because if you're just emailing me, I can't guarantee I'm going to see it. I get spammed with a ton of emails, but if you send me a message in Patreon, I'll for sure see it and do my best to help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks again to all the Patreons, and thanks again to Rad and to Dutch for coming on. See you guys in the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.